Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's episode is presented by Johnny Vaughn, the campus minister at the Mustangs for Christ Student Center at Midwestern State University. Let's listen now to Johnny's lesson.
Good morning. My name is Johnny Bond, and I am the campus minister for the Mustangs for Christ Student Center, located at the campus of Midwestern State University. Some of you have known me since, as my doctor says, there was a lot less of me and a lot more hair. Some of you have known me since I was just a little feller running around in here. Some of you have known me during my time when I walked away from the faith and did not attend church. Some of you have witnessed my coming back and have prayed vigilantly with my mother and joined with my bride as she began to pray for me. And some of you only know the polished product you see in front of you today. You have probably heard stories about me, but I tell you the truth, if you haven't heard the bad, you haven't heard everything. I was not always someone who followed the Lord. I was not always someone who trusted in the Lord. I have chased many other things. I have chased sex. I have chased drugs. I have chased alcohol. I have chased fame. I have chased glory. But the only thing that those took me to were a dead end. And we're going to talk a little bit about why people do what they do. What draws them in. But first I want to ask you a question. How many of you like parades? Raise your hand if you like a parade. You like parades? One of the coolest things when Dawn and Dalton and Rebecca and I moved to Lubbock, we moved in June, and we were really trying to figure out a way to learn the city. Dawn and I learned the city by getting the garage sale map out and going around to different garage sales looking for furnishings, and that was a way for us to learn the city as we drove around. But we also wanted to learn about the city. What were things that the city held in importance? What were things that the city liked to do? And for us, we found out on the July 4th Independence Day parade in downtown Lubbock. It came all the way down University and then on to the campus of Texas Tech, and it was so awesome. We sat there right by the fountain and watched just float after float of people who were just, you know, happy it was the 4th of July, people who had been in Lubbock for hundreds of years, and just all the things that were there. And it really brought back to my mind as we sat there the Pioneer Bowl parades we used to have in downtown Wichita Falls. You remember those? I remember them because we used to have a group at the skating rink. My mom and dad used to own a roller skating rink, still own the skating rink. It's just no longer operational. But we used to skate in those parades. We'd skate in that parade, and we'd skate in the Iowa Park Whoop-De-Doo parade every year. And it was cool because we'd always dress up, storybook characters or something like that. One year we had a girl that was dressed as a robot, and she had this big cardboard box that came down to here, and she fell, and it was torture trying to get her up. But it was always fun to skate in those parades unless you were right behind the horses. I know why Roger Miller saying you can't roller skate in a buffalo herd. And it has nothing to do with the grass. But those are some of my fondest memories, and we still have some pictures of when we used to skate in those parades and dressing up and doing that, and it was always fun to be a part of the parade. But parades are cool, unless you don't like clowns. And then there's some really scary moments in there. But parades are neat because they're a festive idea. They're a moment where you can reflect, and you see friends that are on the floats that you haven't seen in a while, and maybe just your favorite part is catching the candy or taking a picture or just seeing all the activities and all the organizations that are in the city. But in Scripture, there's actually talk of a parade. Did you know that? Did you know that Paul uses the idea of a parade to describe the body of Christ? Were you aware of that? Did you know that? In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, Paul talks about us that we are being led in a victory procession by Christ. And he uses this imagery because he's talking to a group of people that would have known about Roman occupation and Roman culture. You see, when Rome came in and took over a country, when Rome came in and took over a state, one of the things that they would do to announce their presence officially is they would hold a victory procession and a celebration. And this would be a very specific order. First thing that would come through the town would be the older Roman senators. And they would walk by, and simply just by having their presence in there, the city leaders, the new people that would be ruling over you, you knew that this would be important. So first would come the senators. Then, followed behind the senators, would be the leading men of the city that had just been conquered. So first you have the senators of the occupying force, and then you have the men who have agreed to follow along with them. For those that didn't agree, I'll tell you where they come in later. But what was going on then is followed by trumpeters. And the trumpeters come in, and they are announcing. They are setting up the gala celebration. This is like what the marching band does. They're coming in, and they're giving the festiveness to it. They're making it seem like it's somewhat of a party. And so you have the Roman senators followed by the city leaders, and now here come the guys on the trumpet blowing out. And behind them are carriages and the spoils of war carried in the wagons. These are everything that Rome has taken as they have come through the nation and began to take over. If there were temples where they were, they would come in and take the riches of the temples and put that in the wagon. Maybe there were some fine horses or some fine chariots or something like that. But somewhere along the way, they would take the spoils of war, and following the trumpeters, that's where the wagon load of the spoils of war would come. And these would be beautiful, rare items put on display for all to see. And it's proclaiming the glory of the general who is back behind them. After the spoils of war, now come the animals that are native to this land and the animals of the region. And this is a way for the Rome to announce that they can harness even the wilds and even nature as tigers or elephants or whatever natural animals are there, that they're brought through and brought through this parade in front of them. And then perhaps statues and gold and silver dedicated to the defeated gods, the gods that this nation prayed for protection and for victory. These statues of those gods would be brought through next, right after the animals. And then following that, then you have the servants, and they're carrying the censers filled with perfumes and filled with incense and other materials that would be a pleasing aroma, that would be a pleasant aroma. Think potpourri. Think Scentsy, you know, the candles that, right? You got a plug, so good if you sell Scentsy. That's what would come else. And this is a good smell because, remember, it's following the animals, right? And so it's masking whatever smell the animals brought in with them, this more pleasing aroma that comes through, this perfume and incense and things like that. And that's quite a procession there if we were to stop there. But it doesn't stop there. Following those come the servants, come the conquered people. Now, these are the soldiers who have been captured. These are the government leaders who chose not to follow along the Roman senators, and they'll probably be bound. They'll have their hands tied. They'll be in chains, tied not just to themselves, but to one another as they go along behind and led along. Now, you know, you think it's bad when you have to do the walk of shame on Survivor or one of the other reality shows. Imagine being bound with your fellow combatants, and perhaps you're wounded or injured, and you have to follow along, and you're following along, and right in front of you is this smell of perfume and smell of beautiful spices and everything else. And you know, You know that you're being led to the capital steps because now you're either going to be sentenced to death or you're going to be put in prison, because these are the leaders, the conquered generals and other soldiers had been captured. And all of this is to proclaim, look what this conquering general has done to the riches of your land, to the wealthiest and most powerful of your men. And then right after that, following the captives, comes the big float. It's the grand marshal of the parade. And no, I'm not talking about Beverly. Good, you're listening. Good. I thought maybe I lost some of you already. But this is that point in time where now in the Rose Bowl parade you have the celebrity come in or whatever. This is now when the big float comes in, and now the conquering general is introduced to the people. And he's riding in splendor and his power. And he holds he would stand in the chariot. The chariot would be adorned with gold and silver, and he would have the royal scepter in his hand. And then following him come his soldiers, the Roman soldiers, sparkling. Their armor would have been shining and glistening in the sun, and they would have been coming through, and they're marching all the way up until they reach the Capitol building. And then there they decide which captives are killed and which are imprisoned, saved for later. They would offer some of the animals and sacrificed, and then they would have a great feast. And all of it proclaiming, look what this general had done. With that in mind, let's look at our scripture for the morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. Paul writes to the church in Corinth and he says, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him." Do you see the imagery that Paul's using? Do you see the idea of the parade that he's setting up? That Christ is leading this in this triumphal procession. That He is the general arriving on the cart, adorned in gold and silver with the scepter of royalty and rule and authority in His hand and coming along the way. And he says in verse 15, he says, "For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing." He says, "To the one we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life." And who is equal to such a task? Let's stop there, because Paul brings up an interesting contrast here. If you think about the Roman procession that's coming along, the general probably, or the general's wife, probably picks the incense and the fragrances that are to be burned to announce his arrival and to mask the smell of the animals and to liven up the procession. So when you smell that fragrance, you would think of this general. But there's two responses that Paul lists here. And the first response is the response of life. This is the gospel message that we have. And the gospel message, Larry's been preaching out of 1 Corinthians 15, and I can think of no better description than what Paul says, that the gospel of first importance that he preached was that Christ lived, died, was buried, and rose again. That's the gospel of Christ. It's the life, death, burial, resurrection, and I'll include the ascension as he rises to the throne of power. That's the gospel of Christ. And this gospel message that we have, this gospel message that you and I, most of us in here have been raised on, this gospel message that divided the timeline of history, that changed a culture so completely that they stopped worshiping God on Saturday and began to worship Him on Sunday. This gospel that so overtakes people when they hear it to the point of being ostracized by their families or families in their native land holding a funeral if they confess and believe in this gospel. This gospel is the aroma of life to some. It's the aroma of life to some. But put yourself in the shoes or the shackles of the prisoners in the Roman procession that I described earlier. As these men, these conquered soldiers, these senators who refused to follow the Roman way of life, these men who defied this Roman general as he marched on their country, these men are being led right behind the incense to their death. And for them, that pleasing aroma would be the smell of their death. Would be the smell of their death. This morning, I want to talk about and explore the idea of the smell of life or the smell of death. Do you have smells that you associate with certain things? Is there a smell that reminds you of being in grandma's house? Is there a smell that reminds you of certain pivotal moments in your life? I can remember as a child, my mom was a teacher, and she would have to go on student council trips. And when she would, I'd get to go stay with my papa and my mama in Springtown. And to this day, when I smell leaves and dirt, I think of playing at my papa's house. To this day, I can remember, and when I smell I don't know what it was, but there are certain smells that remind me of Papa when he came home from work or when we were fishing in Creed, Colorado. There are smells that remind me of my life lived poolside at Mom and Dad's swimming pool. There are smells that remind me of the skating rink. There are smells that remind me of my wife. There are smells that remind me of times in my life. There are bad smells that remind me of pivotal points in my life. The smell of marijuana burning reminds me of a lost period in my life. The smell of methamphetamine being cooked reminds me of a lost period in my life. The smell of alcohol reminds me of a lost period in my life. Odor is attached to memory. It draws us in, and Paul is hitting on this idea. Paul is using this idea. It's obvious that Paul would have seen, being both a Jew and a Roman citizen, Paul would have seen one of these processions. And he would have been able to identify, growing up as a Jewish subject of Roman occupation, he would have been able to identify with the aroma of death, but also, having come to Christ, he would also be able to identify with the aroma of life. And so as we see this incense that's coming in the air, this incense that's coming through, and Paul says that we are the aroma of Christ, that we are the smell of life to some and death to others. There are only two options when we are confronted by the truth of the gospel. We can either embrace it and give ourselves to it wholly and completely, or we reject it. There's no C. There's no a little bit of this and a little bit of that. It's one or the other. These are things that we see abundantly clear in campus ministry on the campus of Midwestern State University. And not just here, but other campus ministers will tell you the same thing. Because to some, the Mustangs for Christ are the aroma of life. And to other, it's the aroma of death, the aroma of life. I look at Tanner. I look at Mallory and Rachel and Brent and Michelle and these students who have been around this year. And I know the things that they have, I know some of the things that they have battled against in their own life and choosing whether to serve God or whether to serve themselves even. And it's been a struggle for them. And I tell you, one of the best parts about my ministry is that I get to be with these guys every day. They may tell you that that's one of the worst parts, but it's one of the best parts of my ministry because we're actively involved together. Dawn and I have two children that I love with all my heart. But I feel like God has given me a whole other group of spiritual children to look out for and battle for and ache for and long for. And these guys that you see right here on this one, two, third row, these guys are the aroma of life on the campus of Midwestern State University. These young men and women are today's version of Johnny Wilson, Gloria Bond, Kevin and Jerry. Anyone who has come through the muster, what was called the Bible Chair, then called Alpha Omega, the Church of Christ Student Center, now called the Mustangs for Christ. Anybody that has come through this from the time when it was just a sign sitting over next to a field in the late 50s to the time when it was this beautiful building with this giant courtyard in the middle, to the point where Larry came in and remodeled the whole thing, and it looks like it does today, kind of. At any point in time when students have passed through that building, it's been a dividing point in their life where they've had to make decisions. Some have led to marriage. Some have led to life of faithfulness and following God. And everything that they do comes under God. But you know, the sad fact of the matter is that there are some who have walked away. Because you see, to some, the gospel message is the smell of death. Because conviction of sin in your life is difficult. Even if you're like you guys that have been brought up here in the church, you've gone to Wichita Christian School, or just mom and dad have had you to everything. Guys, even to you guys, you got a decision to make coming up. Alan talks to you about it all the time. And your parents pray about it all the time. Sometimes the gospel of Christ is offensive because it doesn't let you come part of the way in. Adults, you need to hear this too, because you're not immune to this. We talked about in Bible class this morning that every day when we wake up, we have to become Christians again. We have to be saved again. We have to buy into this idea of redemption and renewal and holiness. But not everybody's going to buy in. We had a student this week that walked in. Mallory and Tanner were at the building, and about 6:30 one evening, this gentleman walks in, and he's looking around the building, and Mallory said she was like, nah. But this guy comes in, and his first question is, how is this building legal? What about the whole separation of church and state? And Mallory was like, well, the campus does not own us. We're private property here. And he would come back to that occasionally, but then he starts asking, well, what do you do if a Buddhist comes in here? Or what do you do if somebody that doesn't believe in God comes in here? And she just looked at him and said, we love them. We love them. And that's what we do. Because you see, we're not a hangout for Church of Christ kids. And quite frankly, if that's what you dream of the Mustangs for Christ being, you probably need to find somebody else to do the job. Because we are a mission field. Just like Andy and Melissa, just like the Aarons, just like Doug and Sandy, we're a mission field. The men that you had pray with you this morning, you know why Casey didn't try to say their last names? Because the boy got some sense. It doesn't matter how I pronounce Neelix's last name, he tells me it's wrong. But it's somewhere in the neighborhood of Wicromadaleka. No, I didn't get it. And Simba, his name, it's not Lion King Simba. He's not from the Congo. He's from Zimbabwe. See, Neelix from Sri Lanka. Simba's from Zimbabwe. Where'd Elias go? Elias is back in the back. He's wearing, his parents came from Nigeria. He's first generation American. His first name is actually Oluwatimosin Damiloju. We call him Elias. Partly because he's bigger than I am, and that's what he told me to call him. But we have students that come from Catholic backgrounds. We have students that come and have been raised all their life Baptists. We have students that have been raised as Pentecostals. Here's what's cool. We have a group of young men and women who are coming together and becoming a community on campus. They're not always worried about going and doing campus activities, because sometimes they need to come together and pray together and be a community there on campus. You see, that's the time where we can be a community. We've got, what, five or six of our number who aren't here this morning because they have to work on Sunday mornings, because they're in the nursing program and they can't work during the week because of nursing and clinicals. Government is slashing the funding for colleges and for financial aid. So some of these young men and women are put in a tough position. We have two of our students who have agreed with families here in this body this morning that they're going to live with them or on their property for little or no payment, because it's tough to be a student nowadays. If I could, I'd build an apartment in the back room, in the backyard of our place, just so we could house some of our students. Because one of the apartment complexes they live in take advantage of them. You have bugs in your apartment, well, they'll come spray it for $80. They're going to school full time. They're working full time. Some of them are here on student visas, so they can't really work. So they've just got to get by on whatever money they have, and it's tough. Those who did have jobs with the campus, with the government payroll slashed, the campus isn't giving them as many hours as they were, so they're going hungry. So we keep peanut butter, and we keep ramen noodles, and whatever other food, and an amazing amount of coffee at the building for them to have. Don gave me a waffle maker for my birthday. It stays at the student center, and we get the batter blasters. If you've never used those are awesome, by the way. It's just, you know, like spray cheese, but it's pancake batter. But see, I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. Because how many lunches did the 10th and Broad cover the first semester? Do you remember? 4 out of the 12 lunches we did in the fall semester, groups from 10th and Broad covered. And then 2 this semester, right? We've just recently had churches start to step up. See, sometimes churches look at the way we do things on the campus and they forget that we're a mission field. And they want us to look just like them. Y'all stand up. Stand up and turn around so everybody can see you. They don't look like us physically. Why should they have to look exactly like us anyway else? Thank you, guys. Y'all can sit down. We are the aroma of life or death. We are in Christ, have this pleasing aroma of life. These young men and women have chosen to follow the pleasing aroma of life. They sacrifice. They give up their free time. They've given up things that you guys don't even know about. I mean, even in their dating life, they're holding whoever they date to a higher standard and saying, you know, if you can't get on board, maybe you need to find somebody else. You know how tough that is for people this age? These young men and women that just stood up before you and the two sitting in the back that are a little more shy are the aroma of life. They are a pleasing offer to God. And it's there because of the support that you guys have given us over the years. You guys carry the lion's share of the monetary support as well. We've added Tanner as a student intern this year. And a lot of what you see here is due to the work that he does with these guys and girls. But again, to some, it's going to be the smell of death. To some, it's not a pleasing aroma because it looks different, it acts different. Sometimes it's a violation of tradition. Sometimes it's a violation to the way that they're living their lifestyle when it comes to their contemporaries on campus. But it's a struggle. And we have to continue to make this happen, because every year there are more students that come from foreign nations. Some have a Christian background, some don't. Every year we deal with, we have an apartment complex that's right next to us, and one of the reasons that we put up the fence last summer is to keep those folks from coming and sitting on our patio and having their beer parties and alcohol parties and whatever else kind of parties. There's drugs and alcohol use going on in the apartment complex that's right next to us. It's not dorm life, folks. These people are paying rent like they live in an apartment, and they get those freedoms. Our little country college campus is not our little country college campus anymore. It's a cosmopolitan area. It looks and tastes a lot more like the Dallas area than Wichita Falls by people's attitudes, by the people that are there. If you do not think this is a mission field, you are sadly mistaken. And due to that fact, part of what I do when I go out and speak, and part of what I do as I talk about this aroma, is I have to raise funding for this. Some of you already give. Some of you give whatever you can, and that's prayer, which is the first thing that we need. You need to learn some of these names, and you need to know who some of these kids are, and you need to pray for them every day, because they're having spiritual battles each and every day. Some of them have endured loss. Some of them are questioning whether they're in the right career field. You remember what it was like to be in college, 2 years into a major and going, oh my gosh, what have I done? So this morning, at the end of the service, some of the students have some cards. I didn't bring a whole lot. But some of the students are going to have some cards, and they have pictures of students that are here this morning and some who couldn't be here this morning, and what the M4C Mustangs for Christ means to them. And then on the back, there's some choices that you can make on how you want to partner with us and how you want to join with us as we continue and as we go forth. If you want to do this as a small group, that'd be great. If you want to do this as an individual, that'd be better, because then we can get more of you. Again, thank you. Thank you for your role in my life, for supporting Dawn and I as we went through Sunset, for praying for us as we lived 2 years in California, and for bringing us home. Thank you for the active part you've played in almost 50 years of campus ministry at Midwestern State University. Thank you for being the aroma of life to these young men and women who sit here this morning. And thank you for continuing to support us throughout the next few years.